everyone, and welcome to the Office Podcast. My name is Lelo Poyana, and as always, I am with Gia and Lighten. Hello, Lighten.
Hello, guys. How are you? We have missed you. I am glad that we're back.
I'm also glad that we're back. Hi, guys. And I can't even believe that I'm not even with you at the moment, but I'm talking to you.
Yeah, good.
And we're recording a podcast.
Yes, actually, we are now in the time of social distancing. So, we needed to have Corona for you guys to come back. What? Please explain to listeners.
Guys, we've been cooking, and cooking takes time. But let's be honest, guys. Since the last season, there's been a lot of travel involved, people traveling all over the place. There's been some personal challenges people have gone through the last few months as well. And then obviously the year kicked off and it was just hectic. So I think that everyone's almost found a balance now with everything that has happened. There's a lot that has happened. And I think over the episodes for the Office Podcast Season 2, people will be able to just chat about all those things along the way.
Yes, I think so too. I think it's been 3 months of 2020, but it just feels like we're in September. So I suppose the good news is that there's a lot that we have in store and there's a lot to come, and we cannot wait to share and get on with it.
Yeah, yep. So we are recording this episode via Zoom. We are not together because of, you know, this virus that has devastated, you know, the global economies and, you know, people worldwide. So, Gia, maybe you want to tell us a bit about Corona and what do you know about it so far?
So, Corona, it hit us, like, so random. But I think more than anything, what I always want to caution first before we even start the discussion is that, guys, ease up on the fake news. Like, everyone has become a coronavirus expert, and I understand that everyone wants to share and make sure that the people are well informed on the virus and know what's happening. But there's so much fake news going around that we just need to be very careful what we share. And also we need to just avoid creating unnecessary panic, you know. But you'll notice that a lot of companies are telling us to go home because, well, COVID-19, aka coronavirus, is in the area. So I heard actually on a radio station that coronavirus actually started last year, or this string of coronavirus, because it's a large family of viruses that do cause illnesses ranging from a common cold or severe, you know, respiratory issues. However, this particular string of corona or COVID-19 was the most devastating of the coronaviruses. And I was told actually that in Wuhan, it actually began last year, but it wasn't as intense as it is now. And obviously because it's spread, it's become deadly, especially for people who are over the ages of about, 60, 70. And little kids as well are a lot more vulnerable to it. Some of the symptoms, you know, that you've probably heard of already is that it does create, you start getting flu-like symptoms. Including respiratory problems, you get a fever, you get a cough, there ends up being a shortness of breath. Some people, you know, it forces them into a state of pneumonia, you get acute respiratory syndromes, kidney failure, and of course, there are those cases we've heard of where that end up in death, right? So that's what the coronavirus is all called, COVID-19. I don't know how you guys feel. It's as bad as SARS. We had SARS outbreak a few years ago.
You know what, like, just before we actually get into if it's bad, if it's worse than SARS, sorry, I just want to stress us that the symptoms that you just mentioned, I think what's also been miscommunicated by other people is that you have to have all the symptoms. You actually do not. Some people have others, some people don't have others, and sometimes they come in waves and emotions from what other people who actually have been going through it have been saying, that you might actually be living in the same house and have it and not even go through the same symptoms. So that's like a hint to, yeah.
And sometimes you don't even have symptoms at all, like literally nothing, no symptoms. And yet
that's the scary part. You could literally go 14 days and not realize that you have this, actually.
Yeah, and now people are going around and they don't know that they've got the virus. And I think that's, and the thing is, if you're also not presenting with any symptoms, you can't get tested. So unless you come from a high risk area. So that's also another, I mean, even the numbers that we are talking about, I saw this morning, it says we are on 205 in South Africa as of today. Even those numbers, I'm sure there's more than that. It's just that the testing is also taking a bit of time. The results are taking longer to come back. We don't have enough capacity to test everybody that wants or needs to get tested. So it's very scary. It's very scary. But I just pray that, you know, we are able to contain it somehow.
Exactly.
So I'm seeing Germany has donated about 2 million, China 3 million, and some test kits as well. So maybe with the test kit donations and, you know, these supplies that we're getting from across the globe, it might help. But I do fear for the people in the lower income areas or the lower income households who can't afford to go to a Lancet or who can't afford to go to a doctor and refuse test. So what are we doing as a country to help those communities? What are organizations and insurance companies doing? What are the, you know, those medical aids that we can't mention doing to help, you know, get people tested?
Yeah. And just looking at the continent as of today, what is today's day? Today is the 21st. Oh, it's human rights.
21st, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks.
Corona has no respect for our human rights. Anyway, as of today, the 21st of March, in the continent, in keeping with knowing your continent, 937 cases that have been confirmed. Let me see. And the highest country is Egypt with 256, followed by South Africa with 205, and then Algeria. And in terms of death, well, actually recoveries, because I think what we also must not forget to mention
is
the high recovery rate of this virus. 69 people have recovered in the continent so far, and we've had 24 people die as a result of the disease. And Algeria had the highest with 10 people dying, Egypt 7, Morocco 3, and Burkina Faso 1, Gabon, Sudan, Tunisia. So I think I'm really grateful that we haven't had a death, but if people don't take it seriously, then things will get worse. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, to stress that out, Lila, I think we really need to follow the instructions that the government has been giving us, and World Health Organization and everybody that has been informing us on what to do and how to almost like behave in this, you know, in this current climate. Yeah. I see a lot of people are actually thinking that this is not going to affect them. Mm. And I think that's going to be a bit of, that is going to cause like a negative impact. And unfortunately, the vulnerable people are the ones that will suffer the most.
Yeah.
True. Okay, true. Those that don't even have a choice on what to do.
Yeah.
So luckily what happened was on the 15th of March, this was like last week Sunday, we were all waiting with bated breath for President Cyril Ramaphosa to say something about what we are going to do with this virus or how we're going to tackle it as a nation. Because around the globe, obviously presidents and states have been putting in place measures to curb the spread of the virus. So last week we were told that it was declared, COVID-19 was declared national state of disaster. According to the 2002 Disaster Management Act. And, you know, it obviously then meant that there were travel bans that were implemented. The country has now revoked visas and entry for people that were initially granted visas, but now he's literally revoked those. Limited social gatherings to about 100 people. Nothing more than that. And if you are going to a social gathering with more than 100 people, it must be reported to the police station. Require no alcohol to be sold beyond 6 o'clock, and today is 1 o'clock. So weekends are 1 o'clock, weekdays are 6 p.m. And actually, like a friend was at Dopio Zero last night, and she was talking about how they were told to please finish their alcohol before six. They must drink their glass and finish by six.
Wow.
I saw videos of policemen confiscating alcohol. So this is it's serious. So it's again goes back to what Lyson's saying, that for the mere fact that people are still going out socializing, even though that we've been told to try and stay in as much as possible, tells you that people don't actually think that they might be affected by this. And it, you know, it goes back to every other disease. People never really think that something of this nature could protect or could affect them or their loved ones.
Sure. Yeah, and it's, yeah, some of the, I saw yesterday South African Airways also saying they stopping all international operations. I saw Mauritius has also like imposed restrictions, so South African Airlines are also not allowed to go into, you know, Mauritius. It's crazy. It's, yeah.
And we are told that schools are closed until the end of Easter. And yeah. A lot of organizations have also shut down and have requested that people actually work from home. Lighton, are you working from home? What's your story?
I am working from home. I have been working from home since Monday. Thankfully, like, you know, the company that I work for, and the work that I do is the work that you can actually manage to do offline. But then again, there's also, you know, challenges with working offline, which I'm sure we're about to dive into.
Who, Lilo, are you working from home by any chance?
I am working from home, and it is such a struggle.
What?
It really is a struggle. Why are you sounding surprised? It's because
I want to hear. I'm quite curious.
No, it's really. I think for me, I'm really like a. I work best when I'm surrounded by people. I get my energy from, you know, from connecting with other people and just being around people. So I found yesterday that I was in such a terrible mood, and I think it was just, I got tired of, you know, you jump from meeting to meeting to meeting, and you are staring at a screen the whole day. And I actually found myself at like 6, 7 p.m. and I was still on my work laptop, and I'm like, no, but what's going on? Why can't I, you know, switch myself off? So I'm really struggling.
Like, it's how interesting for me.
So you know how I've been trying to do it? I've been trying to just be creative about how I go about having meetings and having different spaces. So what I've been doing is like I've been setting up at my workstation and then work from there. And when I have a meeting, maybe I'll take my first meeting from there and then go take my first meeting from somewhere else, so that I feel like I'm going into a different room almost. And almost like remove that whole like same place, same seats, not move. Because then it gets really into your head, and then you just feel like every meeting blends into each other, and the end of the day, you're very mentally exhausted.
That's actually a good.
So interesting, because I'm finding your experience is interesting, because I've always imagined that work from home is exactly what everyone wants and how everyone wants it done. A colleague of mine also called me yesterday, and she was like, oh my gosh, I actually miss our chats. I miss, you know, people coming to my desks, you know, the stupid chats at the printers. So in as much as a lot of the times we actually beg our employers for work from home, we do still need that office engagement. We still do need that human interaction. And I think that's why a lot of business continuity or continuation policies have started looking also at mental health wellness, because what does this mean for our mental health if we're working at home, from home, those people living alone who are alone from like the morning until the evening between now and the middle or to the end of April. I might be working from home until May, I'm told. So I don't know. So far I'm finding it's bliss for me. I'm loving it. So I could close my laptop and have a nap if I need to. unless it's really busy. Obviously coronavirus in my line of work, I have to advise organizations on their business continuity with the coronavirus. So that's been the main focus. So that's the only challenge, that I'm constantly on the go currently, even though I'm home. And then you try and sneak in something like sweeping the room or something, and then your phone rings and it's like, oh crap, I need to, you know. So it's quite interesting, the varying responses people are having to this whole working from home thing. I think the mere fact that it's forced more than it is what they want at the moment, it makes a big difference.
You know what, like I agree with you partly, yeah. My whole thing about working from home, because I think it's because I've done it before, or at least my job currently is a bit understanding if you need to work from home, maybe you have a personal issue or whatnot. I'll unpack this in two ways. So the first challenge with this current climate and working from home in this current climate is that you don't have as much freedom as you can. So you can't really go work out of a coffee shop next to your house or, you know, down the road or whatever. And you cannot go work from your friend's house who works, like, you know, from home. So you actually have to be more isolated than you already are. And we need to also, in speaking of isolation, we need to also take into account there's isolation of people who are isolated, but then they live in with their parents, or they live at home, or they've got a family. That's a different kind of isolation than when you are isolated and you live alone. And, you know, and the impacts of that are varying and are quite different. But getting back to working from home, I have been trying not to treat working from home like almost an excuse for me to work and then do something, you know, that's not related to work. It's like, if I'm going to sit down and work, I'm treating it as a work day. So also it, like, helps me create boundaries. The only things that I give myself, like a chance to do is, like, maybe I will, like, stand up, maybe do, like, you know, for my break, do, like, 15 minutes to 30 minutes of, like, stretching or yoga or meditation or whatever it is, or just take a lunch break and, you know, just go sit outside and read a book or read a magazine and have a cup of tea. But I think that clearly it almost like breaks it than having a nap, because for me, after I have a nap, it's done, it's not happening, my day is ended. So I don't know how people are actually doing that.
Lighten, you are 100% correct, and I think working from home is just you working from a different location to your office. So the fact that it is home does not mean, therefore, that you can now nap, which are things that you don't usually do when you are at the office, because the expectation is that even though you are working from home, the work still continues, you are still productive, and you are still able to deliver on what you're supposed to do. So I think that element of taking a nap, let me go chill outside and have a smoke, not really a smoke, but like have a drink, have a glass of wine, that is being, I think, if people do that, they are being unethical. Sorry. Yeah.
It's tricky. So it's tricky because...
Let me finish.
Oh, sorry, girl.
So I think I would advise, but not because it comes from my wisdom, but because I've been struggling so much with it, I've ended up reading. Like yesterday, I went to do some reading, and I actually was talking to a friend of mine as well who is used to working from home, to say what are some of the tips and ideas and suggestions for how to keep myself productive and how to end the day not feeling like I'm tired, I'm exhausted, because it was all of it. So putting some structure into the day, like Lighten saying, you actually schedule your tea break or coffee break, schedule your lunchtime, and get off from your workstation. And I think the important thing that you are also mentioning, Lighten, is that you need to have a workstation. You can't work on the couch, work on your bed. You literally have to get up, shower, get dressed, and then start with work, because otherwise then you're going to be tempted. Because if you're wearing your pyjamas, then why are you going to take a nap? So yeah, you can stop now.
So funny, so it's a little bit tricky now for South Africans specifically, actually people around the world, because this is coupled with school holidays. So there's different ways. I think one, from a personal perspective, it's just a more a disciplined thing. So I've been working from home for the last week in my PJs at a desk, and it's worked out perfectly fine, for example. It's all a discipline thing. I haven't had a chance to this week because of coronavirus, but I mean, I've done it previously before. And then also the challenge also comes in, and it's all great and well for people who have, you know, great workspaces or home spaces that allow them to create
desks or to create workspaces, but we also need to think of some cool ways or ways in which people who don't necessarily have the space, who might be living in four-room houses, or, you know, those juniors that don't necessarily have the capacity, like the internet solutions and Wi-Fi at home. So we need to just also come up and think about ways in which those sort of people who don't have the space to create workspaces, how do they cope? Or how do they find ways to get their work done in a more disciplined way? And another challenge is for people who are forced to work at home, but also have their kids at home and don't necessarily have help. So I had a friend who was actually struggling with this because schools have been closed. She has to work at home. It's a challenge for her because she's got a one-year-old. She can't get it. She doesn't have a helper at the moment to assist her with the kids. So it's such a challenge for a lot of parents as well. So I'm quite curious to know, parents, if you are working from home and you have your kids as well at home, how are you balancing the two? Do your teams know that you don't have a helper? Or if you do have a helper, how have you structured that now that you're home? Is there a room that you've created for yourselves? Please let us know. It's quite curious. And if you do have tips for people like Lelo and Lighten have mentioned for working from home, please also share those with us using the hashtag The Office Podcast. Let's help each other out. Let's help people out. Some people haven't worked from home before, and this was quite a challenge for them. And some of us have worked from home before, so this was not so much of a challenge. If anything, I actually love it. I save time. I don't have to sit in traffic or anything of that sort. But do let us know using the hashtag The Office Podcast. And I think both Lelo and Lighten make valid points. You try as much as possible to structure your day. And that's it, really.
So I would actually also like to just go into details into some of the tips that we spoke about. Because I saw that also people people also don't know how to use, like, for example, now we're having to do video conferences for work and
ish, yeah.
We don't know how the etiquette is set. For example, the first thing would be like the getting dressed thing. So you can't be in your pajamas. Yes, you can wear your suit and tie for your conference meeting, but you also have to be presentable. And yes, I've been having a lot of those type of meetings this week, but video is not mandatory. And I think for us who have Wi-Fi and data struggles, like if you put on video, then it also, in terms of connection, sometimes it's not great.
Yeah.
Up on your data Wi-Fi connection. So it's always advised to just have audio if you don't need video. But video is important, and I actually have a meeting set up, like a check-in session that I've scheduled with my team for next week, and I've actually said to them video on because I miss seeing them. So as much as I really miss seeing them, I'm like, guys, let's just have video on. Even if we have video on just for the first 5 minutes when we and whatever, and then for the rest of the time we can have audio. But I think also that connection, just so people also feel like they are part of a team, you know, they are not completely isolated.
True.
Like, you know, that mental well-being that you were talking about, for some people, the isolation and they start feeling lonely is a real thing. So
sure.
I think just one other thing I would say on video, what I really like also about these tools that we are using, for example, the Zoom, there's Microsoft Teams as well, they give you an option to blur your background. So if you're sitting in a maybe you live in a house where you don't have a nice area where you can sit and have the video call, but you can actually blur your background and the focus is on you. So it's not only about hiding where you are, but I also think if you're on a video conference and you see people still doing PTPT behind the person that you're conversing with, it's very
distracting.
So it's always best to just, you know, just blur the background. And also, obviously, the first thing is that when you are not talking on a video conference meeting, to mute until you want to say something. And some of them actually also give you that option to be chatting on the side, so that if you want to say something, the chairperson or whoever is chairing the meeting can just, and so has a comment, what is it, and so on. So those kind of things do help out.
It's so true. So true.
I agree. agree. Yeah, but like I think for me, it just like I'm so aligned with what Lelo is saying. I think video needs to be mandatory at least for the first 5 minutes so that people see you. And I also think it almost keeps you accountable for dressing up and showing up and not like looking like a scalawag. Because I feel that every time I've been working, like every week, every day of this week, right? The 2 days that I started my day without showering, I've seen the difference than the 3 days that I woke up, showered, dressed, and like started working. So I feel like that might also, you know, just keep people a bit more productive and also like motivated to work. And one other thing is that I think in terms of just, you know, getting back to working as teams, so like I work a lot in teams or with other people. And in that regard, like we're trying to keep everything that we normally do as an office similar, like online too. For example, like we have like 9 a.m. stand-up meetings, like what are you doing today? I'm doing ABC. It also keeps you accountable that you have promised to deliver this amount of work by the end of today, so you cannot be, you know, like at the end of the day, like, oh, I only did one thing, you know, and then I just like napped the whole day or whatever. I just got lazy and watched TV. So I think like being accountable and having those task lists is really important from the beginning of your day. It not only keeps you accountable, but I think it also keeps you motivated. Otherwise, like nobody knows what you're doing, and then it's a struggle for managers to keep track of what's being done, what's not being done. And that also is our responsibility as employees, that we need to be accountable and we need to make sure that we're actually producing work, because essentially we are the lucky ones that are actually still working to get paid, as other people who work, who depend on working around hours, and if they're cutting down their hours, that means that they're not making their income. So,
True. I totally agree. Like what you were mentioning about the weekly meeting. So my team has a daily 9 o'clock, and that's when we touch base on, okay, cool, this is what needs to be done. This is what needs to be done. This is who's doing what today. This is who's sending what today. And I like Lilo's suggestion of at least the first 5 minutes, let's do a video. Because I think the whole week, this was our first week working from home, and I think everyone was almost avoiding the video bit. Because I'm sure everyone was in like PJs and gowns. But I like I like the idea of at least for that 5 minutes or that one, at least twice or thrice a week, we still engage via video. I've seen a lot of people working from home doing that, you know, taking pictures of their video team Skypes and video team calls, whatever the case is. So I really like that idea. And one of the other things, like what Lighton mentions, get dressed and stick to your routine, guys. Like, it helps, but also try and take a break and stay active. I struggle with taking a break. So the minute I've opened my laptop, I just move. Like, I go, and it's a struggle, whether I'm in the office or I'm at home. So that is just something I need to work on in general. So I think it just affects that entirely. And then going back to what Lelo said about communicating, there's going to be a lot of misunderstandings, especially when you're not face-to-face. So we also use WhatsApp group chats that we've always had anyway for clients. Also Teams also has a platform where you guys can open your create Teams and you start chatting, discussing whatever client deliverables you have. But also the mental health bit that Lelo mentioned as well. Guys, I think it's always important to try and reach out to friends and family as often as
possible. Exactly.
What Lelo was saying, your mental health is so, so important. And last night I saw an email from our global office to say they've created or they've partnered with a mental health institution so that they can create a helpline for all employees to use. It's totally independent. We can literally call if we need someone to speak to, if we're feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And obviously because our head office is in the UK, and which is where they're starting to see massive effects of the coronavirus. So, and also London in general is just a little bit of a depressing place to be in. But companies are starting to also think about the mental health of their employees. So I think that's brilliant. And I feel sorry for employees who don't have that opportunity, and I really feel bad, and I can only hope that you know, nothing serious as mental breakdowns come from this, or that people experience such things actually.
Yeah.
Just to add on to that, I also think, you know, we also need to be careful about the amount of content that we consume about this virus. Not only the fake news, but it might be real news, but then we are consuming this news like 24/7. And, you know, you start feeling, you know, a bit hopeless, because unfortunately what has been happening is that no positive stories are being reported. So not, at least not a lot of positive stories are being reported. So it's, you know, it can be a bit disheartening, and then you just feel like, oh, you know, this, I'm like stuck. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how this is going to go. Am I going to have a job in the next like 3 months if this continues? And there's a lot of uncertainty. So I think we also need to be careful about the content that we're consuming and how much of it that we're consuming. And I think let's just, you know, be kind to each other and like, let's consume lighthearted things. Let's like laugh. Let's call a friend.
What have been watch Love is Blind when?
So just to kind of wrap up on this conversation on working from home, a friend of mine, Mish, sent me her guide, her work from home guide, which are things that she says actually worked for her. Some of them we've already mentioned, but I'll just list what she listed. She said, first things first, create a workspace. I think we have all agreed that it's important to create a workspace. She says the couch is a good place to lose oneself. So don't sit on the couch. You can go there for a change of scenery, but don't make it your base. And also, Netflix should not even be playing in the background. Rather have music if you need to have something playing in the background while you work. And she does say take coffee breaks, create tasks, and just commit to what is it that you want to achieve today so that you are focused in what you're doing. And then she says, here lunchtime, and it must be away from your work area. So don't have lunch where you are working the whole time. And then she says, get dressed for work. And then she also says, take a moment to just breathe, you know, just to, she says daily mindfulness. It just helps with managing that anxiety of isolation and the dread of monotony, because it's like the same thing over and over. And then she says, at the end of the day, leave your computer in the work area. So if you say, okay, I'm going to finish at 4:30, switch off the laptop, leave it there. Don't take it with you to the couch or to your bedroom. So I think these are really, really great tips. The only other thing that I wanted to ask you guys about is, I'm struggling with, is food. This thing of now managing your own food instead of going to a canteen and I just buy. How are you guys managing that?
Who, guys?
I think personally for me, I get lunch at work every day, guys. So you can imagine. Now I had to stock up and make sure that there's snacks and noodles and this and this, and there's rolls and there's meat and whatever the case is, because I'm used to getting food at work. So I'm no longer getting food at work. And I only eat twice a day now, because I eat a little bit later in the mornings, and then I'm not so hungry in the afternoon and I eat supper. So it's also affected my eating habits, but I'm also eating a lot more junk now. So I'm in trouble. I need to get back to my exercise.
I'm also like going through the same thing. It's either I'm like not eating a lot or I'm eating too much. There's no balance. But what I try to, you know, like what I started trying to do from Wednesday was that in the morning, I have like my tea and have my breakfast while I check on my emails. So I have like a cereal or something. And then I'll have like a fruit around 11, and then I'll break for lunch, and then actually make something for lunch, and then it's stuff that I will use for dinner. But what I've been trying to be clever about is that I only have to make meals that are 30 minutes and under, because you also don't want to eat into doing like a 3-hour lunch and then you're back and it's almost 3 and then you've not been productive.
So what I also wanted us to just touch on briefly before we wrap up, guys, you know, this whole working from home thing, it's not unique to us as employees. It's new for managers as well, well, some managers. So I think, yes, there are companies that were advanced, that had already started this journey of, you know, people being flexible in terms of where they work. But this coronavirus has actually forced all companies to go digital and actually allow people to work remotely. So therefore, there was no opportunity to even train managers on this is how you manage staff that are working remotely. So I was reading an article on Harvard Business Review that was giving really, really nice tips to managers on how to manage staff members remotely. So I'll just list some of the items and then you guys can just give me your comments on that.
Sure.
So the first tip says that you, as a manager, you have to establish like structured daily check-ins. So just establish a daily call. It can be a voice call. Because I think, as you was also not forgetting, it, just because we're working remotely does not mean now we cannot use our phones. It does not mean we only have WhatsApp and we only have email. Just use phone calls. Do you do that with your team, Nathan? Do you do that with your team?
Yes. So with our team, actually, we do... a check-in, like, so every morning we do like a check-in and like later in the afternoon we'll also do a check-in. And sometimes it doesn't have to be like a big, you know, a big formal meeting. It's just like touching base with the team. How are you doing on the WhatsApp group? How are you doing? Who's working on what? How do they progress? Does anyone need help? And also not to forget that we also need to check in just outside of like the working part, like how someone is doing emotionally and mentally, and share a joke and share, you know, something lighthearted here and there. And I think especially in this climate, that's really important. So that's what we've been doing. We've been trying to touch base with people, you know, like frequently.
Mm-hmm. So one of the other rules, actually it's not a lot of rules, but they're quite similar to what we've already talked about. So as a manager, also, or as a leader is more, you know, the right term.
Yes.
provide several different communication technology options. Email alone is insufficient, like we have already said, and that you have to establish rules of engagement. Like we also talked about it, to say we use video conferencing for daily check-in meetings, but we use like WhatsApp if something is urgent, or we use a phone call if something is urgent, and so on.
Yes.
And also as a manager to say, guys, if you wanna get hold of me, I tend to be more available in the afternoons or in the mornings. So just keep those rules of engagement so that we all on the same page about when do you need to get hold of each other and so on. And I think also it's important to offer encouragement and emotional support, especially for people who may be struggling. And some people, I must actually ask you guys about this. What I've realized is that element of feeling guilty. You end up sitting on your laptop the whole time. You feel guilty.
Oh, yes.
Getting up to go to the toilet, but when you're at the office, you move around so freely.
Someone actually mentioned the same thing. They were like, oh my gosh, you know, when you're working from home, sometimes you do feel like, you know, guilt that you stepped out of the house just to breathe, or you're talking to your neighbor. But in actual fact, when you think about it, you're always maybe chatting to a friend in the next department or the next team, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think we need to stop feeling guilty for wanting human interaction and human engagement in general.
Because I also realized with my team, they would send me a message to say, I'm going to be offline, I'm going to do 1, 2, 3 for 30 minutes or whatever. And I'm like, so I appreciate that, firstly, but I don't think it's necessary, because when you're at work, you don't have to tell me, okay, I'm going on my lunch break or whatever, I'm going to buy food. You just, you know, I trust that people are, working from home does not mean that, because I've seen also some managers will say, no, I'm going to check and see if you are available, if you're online, because, you know, with things like Skype, you can see people are online and all of that. It's really not about that. It should just be about other people delivering. It's more about managing outputs than managing when you log on and when you log off.
That's a good point. That is a good point. Thank you for that. I actually needed to hear that.
You know, like sometimes you feel guilty because, and I think the guilt is also centered around the fact that no one can see you. So you just feel like, even if you're not messing around and like not being unproductive, so you just feel like, because you haven't said anything, you haven't sent an email, people would just think that you're not doing anything. So,
oh, yes, I know that feeling.
So you try to, like, over-communicate, which is what I've been experiencing with some with some of my colleagues, like, over communicating because people just feel like they need to, you know, to be seen that they're actually doing some work, which is not really, you know, to Leila's point, not necessary as long as you're producing the work and the output is being, you know, being seen, yeah. Then that's fine.
But look, it's a journey for all of us, and with time we will master that we'll get there. I think the fact that we have started on it just proves that it can be done. So we don't know how long this coronavirus is going to keep us at home. It might be 3 months, 2 months, we don't know, but so we keep learning as we go. So thank you guys, it really has
been a
great conversation. You've been awesome with your knowledge as always. So Gia, any last words?
Okay guys, one last thing, right, that's of high importance to help with the mass hysteria challenges. Let's also just use the correct terminology. Majority of people are saying they're in quarantine, and actually you're just social distancing. Quarantining is for people who have been suspected to have the virus or come from an area that does actually have the virus. Other than that, I've learned quite a lot on the episode today. Thank you guys for the tips. I'm actually going to start implementing quite a few of them starting this week, just to see how going into a cool actual routine. So like showering first thing in the morning and not like waking up and opening my laptop immediately. So that's one of my bad habits I need to get out of, actually showering and then moving my laptop away from my chill areas, because then otherwise I'll never actually chill. End up working until 10 or 11 o'clock like I did yesterday. So it's a no. So thank you guys for all the advice. I'm gonna start using it. If you guys listening have any tips for us as well, please share them so that everyone can start a community and help each other out. Hey Lai, what do you have to say?
So for me, I think you've covered most of the things that I want to say, but I just want to say, guys, like, let's be kind and let's listen to your instructions. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Don't be getting out of the house. And also remember, buy your alcohol on time, because we're going to need more wine.
We are definitely going to need more wine. Okay. So thank you so much, guys. Lighten, do we have social media pages? Not yet.
Yeah, no, we actually do. We are on Twitter and on Instagram now. You can find us at The Office Podcast SA. So go check us out. Follow. We cannot wait
to
see you.
Chat.
Is it Office Podcast SA or The Office Podcast SA?
Wait, let me check.
I feel like we should put this information right on the apps, and everyone can just follow the apps.
wait, because no, it's Office Podcast SA.
Okay.
First podcast. Yes. It was actually interesting recording our first podcast remotely. So, yay to technology.
I just hope it sounds good.
You guys, let us know if it sounds good, okay? Don't be too harsh. All right.
Thank you so much, guys. We shall chat again. Goodbye.
See you soon, guys. Bye.